Well, the cards are Shaw, Jerry Adams, Reich, August Tasola Gumsa, Goel Shivsha, Gumoy, August Bannock T, Nakaska, Livsha, Gulyar. So on this Easter Sunday, let me wish you all the blessings of Easter. And I'm very mindful that Easter in the Christian calendar is a very important time. And I'm always moved by the story that emerged on Good Friday of the crucifixion of Christ, and then the resurrection on Easter Sunday, and how important this is to Christians and to people generally. So, just a thought on all of that, and blessings to you all. And Easter's also a very important time in Irish history and Irish Republican struggle because of the 1916 rising. And I'm leaving shortly to go to my local commemoration. I attended the Ballymurphy one on Friday evening, and I have to say it was a fine event. Wonderful Ilian Piper, a brilliant recitation of Roger Casement's speech from the dock, input from local people, Bana T, Murray Koish, and a very, very fine speech by Paul Maskey, the local MP. So, have a good Easter, all of you, and we might return to this in a future podcast. But what's been happening since the last podcast, and I don't want to make any comment at all about the resignation of Geoffrey Donaldson, except as Michelle O'Neill said, the investigations and the allegations will be a matter for the judicial system to sort out. But a thought with everyone and that's affected by these developments. And Michelle has pledged, and I'm sure she speaks for all of those in the Assembly, to continue with the work that they've made such a fine start off in this recent time. And talking of resignations, Leo Varadkar's resignation from the office of Taoiseach and his leader of Fianna Gael actually caught observers by surprise. And on reflection, however, it's very much in keeping with his personality. He is a bit petulant, a wee bit awkward, socially perhaps, impulsive. But he'd done his best by his own lights, and I certainly wish him well. He and I wouldn't have seen eye to eye on lots of issues, but he did stand by the Brexit position when others in government or close to government or even in his own party leadership probably would not have. So for that, we're appreciative. But by his own admission, well, he's done his best, that's not been good enough. And in fairness, he probably did the right thing. Better to get out on his own terms. And most people have very little sympathy. This is not a complaint, but they have very little sympathy for senior politicians. They're very, you know, well paid and all of that. And most people wouldn't be conscious of the wear and tear that senior politicians and their families endure as a result of the long hours, the relentless pressure, the grinding nature of parliamentary work, and the ongoing public scrutiny. So you really have to believe in what you're doing. especially when things are not going well. And I just think that Leo got a sickener of it all, particularly after the recent referendum results. He was cheesed off, and it seems he just didn't have the stomach for continuing in a government which is going through the motions at this time and actually serving out its time. He was facing into internal turbulence. The Fine Gael Ardaoise was likely to be troubled. 11 of his TDs have said that they will not be standing in the next election. So he probably said to himself, why hang about? His resignation statement was very honest. I am no longer the best person for the job, he said. And that was certainly, Brexit aside, the case on the North, although his instincts are better than Micheál Martin's. The amount of Irish government money for casement was probably Leo's initiative. His refusal to go for a citizens' assembly to discuss and plan for unity was a mistake. He and Micheál Martin are not advocates for a new constitutional future. They're deeply wedded to their own political dispensation. Okay, they want to bring in reforms and make it a more equitable state, but they're not SNQ. They're not sound on the national question. And neither is Simon Harris, although he did make last year, he did make some remarks in which he said that he favoured unity. Now, Taoiseach don't just favour policies or objectives, they have to actually work at bringing them about. Labour leader Ivana Bakic's called for a dedicated departure, Gumail Eskill for a dedicated department to look at the detailed work for unity planning is welcome, not least because it's a recognition of increased and increasing public interest on the need for planning for constitutional change. Maybe if Leo had applied himself to that, he wouldn't be out of a job. Ach well, good luck to you anyway, Leo. Slán. Now, the awful grind of genocide continues. The 1.5 million Palestinians trapped in the southern Gaza city of Rafah on the border with Egypt are under sustained and ruthless attack by Israeli forces. Hundreds of women, children and men are being killed or severely wounded each day. Hospitals are crammed full of desperate human beings who continue to be the target of bomb and tank and sniper attack. At the same time, tens of thousands are facing starvation, while relief trucks carrying desperately needed food, water and medicine are being systematically blocked by the Israeli state. On Sunday, Israel told the UN that it will no longer allow food convoys into North Gaza, where 70% of the people face the highest level of food scarcity. Speaking last Friday, UN General Secretary said, "Here from this crossing we see the heartbreak and the heartlessness of it all. A long line of blocked relief trucks on one side of the gate, the long shadow of starvation on the other. That's more than tragic. It's a moral outrage. It's also a war crime. The Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court is very clear on this. It defines the deliberate starving of civilians as a crime if the intention is to deprive them, and I quote, of objects indispensable to their survival, and this includes willfully impeding relief supplies." Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his war cabinet are immune to all of this. He plans to launch a ground offensive against Rafah. Netanyahu insists that this will take place shortly. His stated aim is the defeat and destruction of Hamas. Common sense tells us that this is unachievable. Our own Irish experience of colonialism proves this. For centuries, English government sought to defeat the desire of the Irish people to freedom and self-determination. every conceivable weapon of oppression was used, from mass executions and deportations to coercion acts and special powers, to the impoverishment and dehumanisation of Irish people, to the denial of basic rights, and a cultural war against our language, our music and art. These were all part of English policy. So too was starvation. In his book, Ireland Since the Famine, and it wasn't a famine, it's a great hunger, F.S. Lyons, writing about the impact of Ungoartá Mór, wrote, "It may well be that the most profound impact on Irish history lay in its ultimate psychological legacy. Expressed in its simplest terms, this legacy was that the long-standing and deep-rooted hatred of the English connection was given not only a new intensity, but also a new dimension. This hatred, this bitterness, this resentment was carried overseas, and especially to America, by nearly 4 million Irish men and women and children who left their homeland decade by decade and year by year in the half century after the famine. In our own time, in our own place, the stated aim of successive unionist and British governments was the defeat of Irish republicanism. Collusion, special laws, torture, sectarian discrimination, military occupation were all part of government policy. One British government of state was so gung-ho that he spoke of squeezing Republicans like a tube of toothpaste. None of it worked. What worked was a peace process slowly and painfully built. The lesson for the Israeli state and their supporters in London and the White House is that occupation, genocide, repression, the theft of Palestinian land and natural resources will not work. The mass slaughter of innocents will not work. The criminalisation and dehumanisation of the Palestinian people will not work. On the contrary, the Israeli massacre of 32,000 plus people in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank is storing up a legacy of bitterness and will ensure that resistance to Israeli colonisation will continue. Regrettably, I don't see Netanyahu having any interest in a peace process. Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman told the Israeli newspaper last Sunday, "I think this is the worst government Israel has ever had, and I think Netanyahu will go down in history as the worst leader in Jewish history, not just in Israeli history." But now there's a change discernible within the international community's approach to Israel's genocidal strategy. It has come very, very belatedly. But some allies of the Israeli state are now taking up publicly more critical positions. At the weekend, it was reported that French President Emmanuel Macron, in a phone call, told Netanyahu the forced transfer of people from Rafah would constitute a war crime. On Sunday, the United States, in an unprecedented move, abstained in a UN Security Council vote on an immediate ceasefire rather than veto it, therefore allowing it to pass. It's long past the time for the USA, for Britain and others to stop providing materials, war materials, to Israel. They cannot fund and arm the genocide by decrying its awful effect on Palestinians. Stop the war. No funds or arms for Netanyahu. So Shin Mamej Akarja, just on the day that's in it, this is a little poem written by Ned Egan, and it's just in memory of our patriot dead. It's actually written in tribute to the 1981 hunger strikers. It's called Different Bells. A meadow, a river, a summer flower, an angelus tolling the noonday hour. A moment, a memory, a halt in time. One measure, one treasure, each single chime. A prison, a searchlight, a barbed wire fence, jailer's bell ringing, I know not whence. My hero, my sweetheart, Brave son of mine, one measure, one treasure, each single chime. A churchyard, a prayer, a last farewell, a priest in the evening, a funeral bell. Go softly, your death is mine, one measure, one treasure, each single chime. So, let's go forward with hope. Let's go forward with optimism. And let's go forward and make a fair, equitable future a reality. Gunyurian ta, livsha. Have a nice Easter. Slán, live a harja.